You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Thursday, April 10th. At a hearing last week, a Pacific County Superior Court judge ruled that a recall effort against County Commissioner Lisa Olson can proceed. The recall, which was filed in early March, comes from citizens who are opposed to the recent separation of the Pacific County Jail from the Pacific County Sheriff's Office. Under Washington state law, any elected official can be recalled if it is proved they failed their official duty, either intentionally or unintentionally, and the hearing last week was the first of a three-part recall process. A citizen must first submit a formal complaint. Then, if a judge finds the complaint meets the legal threshold, the process moves forward to a signature petition. Finally, if enough signatures are acquired, the recall is placed on an official voting ballot. According to court records, the complaint alleges Pacific County leaders, including Olson, held unlawful executive sessions on multiple occasions last year. It also alleges county leaders allowed at least two administrators to attend executive sessions in violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. After the judge's ruling, a group that calls itself the Recall Rangers will now begin to collect signatures for the petition to recall Olson. Olson now has the opportunity to appeal the ruling. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer. Read more online at chinookobserver.com. The outlook for Tillamook County's budget over the next three fiscal years is now looking more positive. That's according to the county's financial consultant, Mike Gleason. In the face of declining timber revenues, Tillamook County is addressing its budget crunch in a variety of ways. One of those is an increase to the transient lodging tax, but only if voters pass the increase in May. Gleason says the majority of Tillamook County's 59 separate funds are in strong shape. He also says the general fund and the solid waste fund are the only two that need to be watched on an ongoing basis. Other ideas on the table for keeping the county budget in the positive include slowing county hiring and redesigning the general fund to move certain costs to other funds. Additionally, Tillamook County Commissioner Paul Fournier has proposed redesigning the funding structure for the county's Parks Department by allowing its revenues to flow to the general fund. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Senator Patty Murray is pushing back against President Trump's proposed tariffs. She says Washington state farmers stand to lose the most. KUOW's Joshua McNichols has more.
In some places, Senator Murray says the suffering will come from retaliatory tariffs imposed by the nations we trade with. In other places, she says it will happen because of growing anti-American sentiment among shoppers. During Trump's last term, retaliatory tariffs cost Washington cherry growers most of their market share in India. Now, potato farmers fear that'll happen in Japan.
I have talked to so many farmers in our state who are furious that Donald Trump cannot seem to grasp the basic fact that they actually rely on international markets.
According to the president, the new tariffs will bring in lots of money. A statement from U.S. Customs says the agency has brought in $4.8 billion so far from tariffs imposed on China earlier this year. I'm Joshua McNichols reporting.
Legal aid for migrant children in the U.S. without a parent or guardian is at the center of a federal legal battle. A judge ruled to restore the aid, but immigrant rights groups say the future is uncertain. NWPB's Renee Diaz reports.
The Trump administration ended a contract providing legal representation for unaccompanied migrant children. A federal judge ruled the move violated protections meant to shield children from abuse and ordered legal aid to be restored.
We haven't received any further instruction about any portion of our contract being restored. So ideal scenario would be restoring the contract because otherwise there will be children going to court by themselves.
That's Kaylee Beber with Northwest Immigrant Rights Project. The group isn't taking new cases. However, they continue to represent clients taken on before the federal contract cuts. I'm Renee Diaz reporting.
The federal government has revoked visas for a number of students and postgrads at Seattle University and the University of Washington. While the University of Washington says there's no indication why, immigrants and pro-Gaza activists who were involved in campus protests last year wonder if they'll be targeted next. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has the story.
At Toasted, a bagel cafe in the University District, there was a line out the door at 10 p.m. on a recent Wednesday during Ramadan, when observant Muslims fast until dark. Jafar Altamimi, the co-owner, took orders for bagels and lox, labneh and honey, have a hot chocolate.
This is probably the slowest night we've had since we've started.
Are you kidding me?
Altamimi worked till 1:30 in the morning. All the cafe's profits from this night, he said, go to help Palestinian students applying to study at UW.
Once they come here, you know, hopefully we'll be able to provide them with a little bit of their expenses paid.
UW agreed to waive tuition for 20 students as part of an agreement with pro-Gaza protesters last year when they took down their encampment on the liberal arts quadrangle. Whether those incoming Palestinian students will ever get here is a big question mark now. The Trump administration has detained green card holders and revoked visas of legal residents who spoke out about Gaza. On Monday night, UW announced 5 students and 4 postgrad trainees had had their visas revoked. There's no indication it was related to activism or, quote, protected free speech, a UW spokesperson wrote. But the move has reverberated through Seattle's immigrant community, particularly those who've criticized Israel's war in Gaza. Erin Walvikar, an immigration lawyer at Fisher Phillips, says she's been telling her clients to make their social media accounts private or even delete them, particularly if they have to travel out of the country.
A lot of employers right now are just saying overall, probably not a good idea to travel right now until things hopefully soothe over a little bit.
For those Palestinian students the UW has agreed to waive tuition for, Walvikar said she'd be concerned if any of them have been involved in political matters. Talk about Gaza has been quieter on and off campus from international students and citizens. At least that's how it feels to Tariq Yosef.
I've seen a lot less posting on social media.
Yosef graduated from UW a decade ago, but went to the protests last year during an appearance by a right-wing group. He got shoved to the ground by a counter-protester in a video posted online.
I have at least one police report when I was assaulted there. I mean, I imagine that that is something that will be looked up.
Yosef himself is a citizen.
Like, if I think about the people that I knew that were at a lot of the protests, a lot of them are citizens, but their parents aren't. There's now that extra worry of, like, how far exactly are they going to go?
KUOW reached out to a number of visa and green card holders who protested for Gaza, but none agreed to speak on the record. The Trump administration detainments have generated criticism, even from the right wing, or supporters of Israel.
You can't have a situation where the government just picks somebody up and packs them away, and that's the last you hear of him.
Paul Burstein is a UW professor emeritus of sociology and Jewish studies who says he's a Zionist. Burstein does believe UW has failed to respond to anti-Semitism, something President Trump also argues about many colleges. In a UW report released last fall, some Jewish students said they'd been targeted for supporting Israel.
Among the things that were reported on were calls for Jews, not just Israelis, Jews, to go back to the gas chambers, end Israel, and kill your local colonizer.
In that same report, Jews who support Gaza also said they were harassed by Israel supporters. And a majority of Palestinian students said they felt they had to hide their identities. UW spokesperson Victor Balta said the university did take actions last year, suspending a student group, reading criminal trespass warnings, and arresting one protester. It's not clear whether any of the students whose visas got revoked this week were in any way connected to the protests last year. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org.